One verse of scripture today as we stand, because there's many more to come. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Today is the final day in the series that I began the 1st of January from the book of Deuteronomy. There's one verse here that's standing out in my heart and mind to create the context for us today. And I'm very excited. I feel in my heart a great work of grace that may follow this word. It will accompany this word. Here it says, and this is the blessing. Deuteronomy 33 and 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Let's read it together slowly. And this is the blessing. Look at that. This is the blessing. Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So today, we're going to look at it in its historical context, but we're going to search for its application in our lives today. We're going to be blessed by the blessing. That's the heart, I believe, of this word for you and I today. Are you blessed by the blessing?
Amen.
Come on, amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I love you. I'm blessed to be in this place. I'm blessed to have fellowship and friendships, God, and relationship that I enjoy so commonly amongst our church family. We're blessed by visitors that came in today for the very first time. God, we're blessed by the vision of our church. We're blessed by children, the sound of children and laughter, crying and playing of toys, God, among us. We're blessed by it. We're blessed by teenagers, God, going to a camp, God, to be in an environment to foster their spiritual growth. We're blessed, God, in so many areas of our life. I pray today, Father, we're blessed to hear the Word of God. Come on, that's a good word right there. It's a good place to say, we're blessed to hear the Word. God, my heart's prepared. I pray the heart of the people to be prepared to receive this Word, Father. Let preaching come easy in this house, God. Come on, I feel that in my spirit. God, let preaching come easy today, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said amen and amen. Thank you. Woven within this context certainly is a word for us as a fellowship. Allow me to take just a little time to give some backdrop to where we're at. As a pastor, when I felt led, whether or not you agree with that or not, going back in January, I chose the book of Deuteronomy. I began 2024 out of the book of Numbers. This is called to many the Torah, the law of Moses. Many fail to look back into the Mosaic Law and to see the life that it contains. But I've tried my very best over these many weeks to show you that Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. There are things contained therein that are still relevant to us. It was quoted by the apostolic writers many times in their writings, in the Gospels, and especially in the epistles. Jesus himself quoted the book of Deuteronomy on three separate occasions in one wrestling match against our adversary, the devil. He quoted the book of Deuteronomy as a deterrent against Satan's influence in his life. And so if it worked for Jesus, come on somebody, then it worked for you. Here's a brief overview of our journey. We kind of began with moving forward. That was the context. The children of Israel were about to move. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' recounting, just in a briefer sense, of the law and the history of the children of Israel from their exodus forward. And so I began with moving forward. This is not all the sermons, but this is just a brief overview of where I felt led to take you over these many weeks. And from there, I shared with you a day like no other, and that was when the law was given at Mount Sinai, and how that was a holy moment. There was this important, probably only exceeded by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and the subsequent giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Apart from that, perhaps that was a day above all other days in the history of man, because it was there that God gave us a holy law. God made many promises, a promise like no other. The children of Israel were called to be a people like no other. Amen. The power of love. I preach to you in this series the greatest sermon that you ever heard. Y'all remember that? Because it was the greatest subject that could ever, it could not be improved upon. And that was the blood of Christ. Come on, somebody. It's death, burial, and resurrection. I preach to you a land like no other. I challenge you to believe. Only believe. That's what Jesus said. Only believe. And then the assembly, and we as the church family have been kind of shifting a little bit of our identity around that name lately, the assembly. I preached a sermon entitled No Doubt. I gave you a word about giants. There are still giants in the land, right? But we don't have to fear anything in front of us. Come on, somebody. I told the parents to bless the children. I told you about the days of heaven on earth. I preached Christ our Passover out of the book of Deuteronomy, and Christ the first fruits of the resurrection out of the book of Deuteronomy. And towards the end of this series, I told you to choose life, because Moses did. Moses told the children of Israel, he said, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that you may live. Yes. Amen? And last week, I charged you specifically concerning the Joshua generation, a transitional time in the church, which there's a passing from previous experiences to obtaining new experiences in God. And I believe it was the right word for the church family. And so where we are in this context here, Moses is near the end of his death. Even the wording there in that first verse, it says before his death. We don't know how many days or weeks. Seems to be very close to the time when Moses will climb up on the mount, and from there he will pass into eternity. Moses has charged Israel up until this point. He's charged Israel to be faithful to God. He's called Joshua, who he had previously laid hands on, and now he's charged Joshua to be strong and courageous, to accept the baton of leadership and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen? Moses has delivered a prophetic song. Deuteronomy chapter number 32 is the recording of a song that Moses receives of the Lord. It's a prophetic song that the lyrics contain a revelation that tragically came to pass. For in that song, Moses accurately predicts Israel's rebellion and their subsequent captivity. But it also, what's that? Is it down? Has it failed me? I knew I'm not hearing myself well. Get thee behind me, Satan. Hey, wake up, people. Thus saith the Lord. Is that better? Slightly better? All right. Well, I need a little bit more here. Just a little bit. Just a hint more right there. Maybe that's why. All right. Now we've got it together. I hope we've got it together. But I want to go back. Let me pick up this song for a moment of time. It's a little bit disheartening when you read the Song of Moses. Songs are typically of celebration. Right? But the Song of Moses is actually a prophetic prediction of the children of Israel following his death, following Joshua's death, that the children of Israel would stray from that moment of covenant commitment. But it also, contained in the song, is a prophetic promise that despite their failure, despite their rebellion against God, God is merciful and gracious. And God would be waiting for them to return to him. And he would receive them and restore them to their place of prominence in his covenant. So Moses called it a witness song to witness against them, not only of their rebellion, but also of God's love and of his mercy. And then it concludes that psalm, and I think I gave him those verses here, chapter 32, verses 44 through 47. He says this, Moses came and he spoke all the words of the song in the ears of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of this law. Look at verse 47, read it slowly. For it is not a vain thing for you, he said, it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Moses is looking back to the entire 40-year journey. He's remembering the crossing of the Red Sea. He's remembering their failures in the wilderness. He's remembering the fire of Mount Sinai. He's remembering God's faithfulness despite their unfaithfulness. He's remembering their unbelief when they were sent in the spies. He's remembering the subsequent journey. But he's remembering the revelation of the law and the Torah, the instruction that God has given Israel to hedge them in, to protect them from this world system and the economy of this world system. And he tells ancient Israel, this is not a vain thing. Your life is hinged upon it. It's dependent upon it. And it's a great word for us today too as well. And then before ascending to Moses' own funeral march, he then does something. That's the transition point of chapter number 33. He blesses the children of Israel. The text said, this is the blessing wherewith Moses blessed the children of Israel. The word bless in Hebrew simply means to speak good concerning, to speak prosperity over someone. In the Greek word is actually eulogio. So I'm not pronouncing it accurately, I'm sure, but we get the English from the Latin of eulogy. It's to speak well about someone. Each tribe is called by name. Tribe simply means family. So in this moment, Moses, who is the patriarchal, paternal, prophetic leader of ancient Israel, would speak the prophetic word of God over every family in Israel. From that young couple that has that newest child, like Aaron and a Chelsea, which they're not really young, we'll give them, they're kind of in the middle now. And or to those that are now in their 50s and 60s, because there would have been some in their 50s and 60s, it didn't matter. He spoke prophetically about them, speaking the prophetic word of God, calling each tribe by name, and then he culminates with two verses. We're going to read those two verses here today. And there's the picture that's going to be put together, and then it's going to be, I think it's going to be applicable to you shortly here in the 28th verse. So he's called every tribe by name, the 12 tribes of Israel, taking Joseph and his two sons, that the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, which took the place of Joseph of the 12 sons of Jacob, Israel. Now he culminates it all back together in these final two verses as he has spoken the prophetic word of God, the prophetic blessing of God upon them. He says, Israel will dwell in safety, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and the heavens will drop down dew. And he says, happy art thou, O Israel. The word happy often is translated blessed. So you could even read it that way. Other translations would say blessed. Blessed art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is thy sword of thy excellence. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So a culmination, speaking the prophetic word of God over each one of the tribes of Israel, but then culminating back together, speaking that word of faith over them. And it teaches us something about the nature of God. God is a blessor. Right? It teaches us something about, again, the many faceted person of God revealing himself and who he is. I know God is judge and I know God is holy, but God also is father. He has a paternal heart for his children, right? To speak life over his children. And so again, Moses speaking good, speaking prosperity, a prophetic word, not just out of his head, out of the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God, a prophetic paternal word spoken over the children of Israel. And so what does it mean to be blessed? And kind of where does that originate in Scripture, this context of blessing? Because it's said there in the 33rd chapter, the first verse, this is the blessing wherewith Moses has blessed the children of Israel. When you begin this journey of studying about the blessing, I want to create a bigger picture for you because I want you to understand it fully today, or more fully today, I hope, so that you can understand this grace that you and I have today to walk in. The blessing of God goes all the way back to the Genesis. It goes all the way back to the completion of the 6 days of creation. It goes back to when God has taken this first man that he's formed in his own likeness and his own image. And when he had looked upon that man and he had said, it is good, and he placed him in the garden and gave him a job and gave him responsibility to name all the animals of the garden. And towards the end of the day, of the first day, he saw that it was no longer good for man to be alone. And he said, I will make a help meet suitable for the man. And he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And as Adam slept, he took his rib and he made a woman. And when Adam woke up, he had only seen tigers and lions and giraffes and rhinoceroses, and all of a sudden out of the bushes of the garden comes the most beautiful the most beautiful of all creation. And he said, "Whoa, man, woman." And he called her Eve, and she became the mother of all living. But God placed them in the garden. And here's what God said. God said, "I bless you." He said, "I bless you to multiply and to be replenish the earth and to have dominion over the earth." God blessed man, and that reveals to us in the genesis of time that it's in the heart and the mind of God to bless his children. Perhaps the blessing of God was seen with Noah when Noah, after the flooding of the earth, and then Noah and his family comes out, the Bible plainly says, comes out of the ark. Noah was blessed of God in Genesis 9 and 1. But perhaps the most famous of all the blessings that we read about in Scripture is the Abrahamic blessing that's recorded in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a few of these, not many, but let's read these together if we can. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. It's a land that I'm going to show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.'" Verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So this Abrahamic blessing spoken long ago that we believe has been gratified fully in the person of Christ Jesus was a blessing that you could follow in Scripture. You can see God blessing Abraham and blessing his wife Sarah. And God gave them a seed called Isaac, and the blessing of God was upon Abraham and his wife. It was also upon his children. I believe in a generational blessing. You've heard me say many times we somehow get affixed in the church world about generational curses. Why don't we talk more about the generation of blessing? The blessing of faith and faithfulness. And Isaac was blessed. And the Scripture then tells us about Jacob. Jacob so longed to obtain the blessing of his father because there was a blessing of the firstborn that tragically he deceived his father to blessing him, thinking that he was blessing the firstborn son, Esau. You're familiar with that story. I'm not preaching it all in its context today. But Isaac blessed both of his sons, Jacob and Esau, because they believed in the power of the prophetic blessing because it had originated in the Genesis. God blessed his children. We see the Scripture continue, and Jacob is promised blessing at Bethel. When Jacob had pillowed his head on that stone that night and the heavens were opened unto him and God confirmed the blessing of Abraham upon him, and he said, "In you, Jacob, all the world's going to be blessed through your seed." And later, many years later, 20 years later, upon Jacob's return journey back to his father's house, you may remember beside the brook Jabbok, Jacob, who has been blessed in a lot of different ways until that time, on that night when he wrestled with the angel and the angel could not break free from his grasp, Jacob had only one request. And that shows you his understanding of the power of the supernatural blessing of God. On that night, Jacob, when he held tight to the angel and made his request, his one request was this: "I am not going to let go until you clear your throat, open your mouth, and you speak the prophetic blessing of God upon me and my household." If only we believe that with such a fervent faith in the power of God's blessing. The Bible tells us that Jacob, the aged Jacob, would later bless the two sons of Joseph. God had blessed Joseph so much that, remember when Joseph was in captivity? You said, "That doesn't sound like blessing," but how many of you know that's a journey? You can't always look at your circumstances. You can be in difficult circumstances and still have the blessing of God upon you. The Bible says that God caused the blessing of God to come upon Joseph so much that as he dwelt in an Egyptian idolater's house, Potiphar, God blessed that man's entire house just because Joseph was there. God promised blessing to the Levite for his service to the house of God. There's the priestly blessing of number 6 that we're going to talk about in just a little while. Israel was to pray for blessing at the offering. When it comes time to give the offering, you should always attach a prayer for the blessing of God upon it. Ancient Israel was told to put their offering in a basket, give it to the priest, and stand before the altar and say, "God, would you look down upon your children and bless our families?" Do you do that? I hope that you do. Then the priest, the Bible says in Ezekiel 44 and 30, the priest is to speak based upon your faithfulness to God. The priest is to speak and pray that God would put a blessing upon you because you've been faithful to God. And I believe in the blessing of God so much that the Bible tells us God can command the blessing. I want you to think about that. God could command the wind. God could command the water. God could command the sun, the moon, and the stars. God commands the earth and it spins on its axis. God commanded the light that's still expanding, and the darkness does not overtake it. But the Bible plainly says in Deuteronomy 28 that God can command the blessing over his children. He said, I will command the blessing. I believe that when we receive from God, God will speak a prophetic word over us concerning his blessing. This is the blessing wherewith Moses blessed the children of Israel. I was pondering about the blessing. I found many references to it, too many to tell. Just to glean from today, to create a context for you and I, that it's the will of God to bless the children of God. I remember after moving the ark, David blessed the people. Well, first of all, let me just tell you this. There had been a failure in moving the ark to Mount Zion. And upon the failure to moving the ark to Mount Zion, getting it to closer to David and where the people of Israel could worship, the ark, the covenant, the presence of God, representing the presence of God, David longed for it. The children of Israel had not sought for it in the last 20 years of Saul's 40-year reign, and David longed for it. But there was a breach. You know that story when the oxen that was carrying the ark stumbled and fell, and a priest reached his hand up and he was smitten. And so David was afraid of God that day, and so they took the ark and they put it in the home of a priest, and the priest's name was Obed-Edom. And the Bible says for 90 days, 3 months, while the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom, that God blessed him and his house and everything that he had. I think I told you this before, but we had a preacher here long years ago, Dean Caldwell, that preached concerning the blessing of God, about the presence of God. And he said that when Obed-Edom got that blessing upon his house, his children went from making C's and making all A's in school. He said, then all of a sudden, every cow in the field and every calf began to have twins and triplets. He was going to the convenience store in downtown Jerusalem, and he happened to be the millionth customer and won $100,000. Come on, somebody. That's the blessing of God. David had saw it upon the house of Obed-Edom, and he was envious for it, and he said, I got to have the blessing. And when he brought the ark successfully back to the city of Mount Zion, here's what he did. David blessed the entire nation of Israel. He spoke a prophetic blessing over them. And then he put something in their hand, and you've heard me mention this many times. He gave them a piece of bread, a good piece of flesh. That meant they got ribeye. Come on, somebody. Not Mexican beef, USDA farm raised from the Brown family farm. Come on, somebody. Ribeye, that's right. Some others have got some. Write that. And then they added a flagon of wine. I still say we would change the trajectory of our church if we offered that every Sunday. I don't care where you're from. That's funny. It just is. But once he had blessed the people, listen to what he did. He understood the power of the prophetic blessing, that he left the house of God to go to his house and speak the blessing over his family. God later would promise to bless David's house forever, and it still is, through the person of Jesus Christ. We know in Scripture about a man named Jabez that prayed for God to enlarge his tent, and he asked God to bless him. The Bible tells of the daughter of Caleb who asked her father for a blessing. I love that story, and I preach that, and I have to be very, very careful because the King James English says she lit off her ass to ask her father for a blessing. And some of you may remember how I preached, get off your and believe God, but I won't do that today because I'm too mature on this. I'm too mature to say things like that now. But I could, because you need to ask your father for a blessing. The daughter of Caleb said, you've given me the upper spring. Thank God. I appreciate it, Dad, but I want that southern spring as well. Sometimes you have to have a bold faith that just says, I believe it's in your heart to bless me. Maybe we receive not because we don't ask. Come on, somebody. I preached about JL a few weeks ago, and because she took a wooden hammer and a wooden peg and drove it into the head of the enemy, the Bible says she was blessed in the tent above all other women. Right, for her action of faith against the enemies of God. And so Samson was blessed as he grew. Solomon was blessed by his father, and later he himself blessed the congregation. Solomon received his father's blessing, and so he too blessed the congregation that he had saw his father. There's a valley in Israel, Barakaha, Kahashahaka, Barakahasha. Shah. It's in 2 Chronicles 20 and 26, but it actually is called the Valley of Blessing. You may say, Pastor Brown, I'm in a valley right now. You may be in a valley, but it can still be a valley of blessing if God's with you. Come on, somebody. And I love this. The Bible says God blessed the latter end of Job greater than the earlier. And if you know the story about Job, you know that Job suffered tragedy that it is hard for us to fathom the level and the depth and the magnitude of the tragedy that he went through. But God was faithful to Job. And you may have suffered loss. You may be in a season of mourning and grieving. You may have had to go through bankruptcy. You may have lost a house. I came along to tell you today that God is faithful. If you'll trust him, God can turn things around and you can be more blessed at the end than you were when you were younger because of the goodness of Almighty God. I love this verse. It's Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You want to walk in the blessing of God? Then don't take your counsel from the ungodly. Mary said this about being blessed. When the prophetic word was spoken to her that she would receive the Christ in her womb, she later prophetically said, from this day forward, all generations are going to call me blessed. Jesus spoke a diverse blessing in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you with me today? He spoke a very diverse blessing upon the listeners in his audience around the Galilean seaside that day. But there was one famous time in Jesus' life. It's famous to us. It's very small. It seems insignificant in one sense, but not when you put it in its context. There were some mothers that had children, and they said, we want this man of God, this holy rabbi, we want him to, maybe they remembered Jacob. Maybe they remembered Abraham. Maybe they remembered David. And they knew there was something about this man, Jesus. And the disciples said, no, he doesn't have time for children. But Jesus said, no, suffer the little children and allow them to come unto me. And they brought all the kids' church together and rallied around him. And one by one, he picked them up. And the Bible says he put his hands upon them and blessed them. I can only imagine that from that day forward, God was raising up the next generation of prophetic voices in the land of ancient Israel because of the prophetic voice spoken over them by Christ. And another blessing that's often overlooked, Jesus told Thomas when Thomas professed that Jesus was Lord and Savior, but Thomas professed because he had seen Jesus. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. But on June 1st, 2025, in a valley in Heber Springs, what we call North Central Arkansas, the foothills of the Ozarks, there'll be a group of men and women gathered in four walls in the address 1009 West Searcy Street. We've never laid a physical eye upon Jesus, but we believe. Amen. And because we believe, we're blessed of God. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Paul would write in Ephesians 1:3 that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let that sink down in your heart. You've been blessed with all. God has not withheld any good spiritual blessing back from you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and he will add no sorrow to it. I like that, don't you? And here's one for us to turn to, Psalm 115. Let's read it. We're going to read it kind of slowly. Not the entirety of the psalm, but we'll pick it up in the 10th verse. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and he is their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel and he will bless the house of Aaron. Paul's right there and you may say, Pastor Brown, this is speaking prophetically of ancient Israel as the psalmist is writing concerning both the temple and the priests and the leader and Aaron and his descendants. Yes, I understand all of that. But if you understand the context of what I've been preaching from, you and I have been grafted into the olive tree and we draw from the root and the fatness of the tree. And so if he will bless Aaron and the house of Aaron, he'll bless your house. Right? He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. There it is. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Come on now, that's a generational blessing of God. right? You and your household. I just pray to God that if you've got negative thoughts in your heart and your mind about your family, about your children, I pray to God in Jesus' name that you will pull them down, because that is the lie of the enemy that is trying to change the trajectory of your family into the curse. I encourage you to pluck that up in the name of the Lord, and you hold fast to your profession of faith. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Glory to God. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead don't praise the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but you and I are going to bless his name. Amen. From this time forward and forevermore, praise the Lord. We bless or praise the Lord because we've been blessed by God. Do you understand the blessing? Do you desire the blessing? This is the blessing whereby Moses blessed the children of Israel. In my heart of hearts, every day, I want to walk in the blessing of God. Sherry and I drive down this mountain every Sunday, and we typically hold hands to pray a prayer of faith. It's brief. It's not long. It's not drawn out. It's a brief prayer. We pray, Father God, would you bless our meeting together with our church family? Trusting the Lord for his goodness and his grace. The blessing of God is so rich. He adds no sorrow to it, Solomon wrote in the Proverbs. Have you looked at your own life and evaluated? Are you walking in the fullness of God's blessing? Do you have the things that he's promised? I've got some things I'm going to drop in your heart today as indicators of the blessing of God. Because if you're lacking in this area or in this particular area, then I want to encourage you, pursue it by faith that God might fill that void in your life. Because you can be blessed in the areas that I'm going to touch on quickly today. This is a barrage that I'm going to conclude this series with. But I've got your attention today. We're not at the base of Mount Sinai anymore. We're on the edge of the Jordan River. The children of Israel are about to cross over. Moses, the man of God, 120 years of age, said, I can no longer go in and out among you as I once would. I can't lead you in battle against the Canaanites. I've reached the fulfillment of God's prophetic purpose for my life. I have passed the prophetic blessing upon Joshua, and Joshua's charge to be strong and courageous, and he will lead you into the land of your inheritance. So be strong and do as Joshua gives you instruction. But before you leave, I want to open my mouth before you cross the water, before you begin to engage your adversary, the Canaanites, in battle. You need to know that the supernatural blessing of Almighty God is upon you. When you have God's blessing upon you, it will give you a confidence that the enemy can no longer stand in front of you. You will know that God's favor is upon you. Now is the time of God's favor. There are some things that are indicators in your life that says you're blessed of God. I'm going to drop these down in your heart today quickly so that you can use these as a measuring tool, if you will, to judge whether you have the revelation of the blessing of God. Who's blessed among us today? I'll tell you, those that are blessed, number one, are those who are forgiven. The psalmist said this in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, that's a poor amen for this word. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute his iniquities. Let me tell you, you're blessed when you know that there was no way that you could atone for your transgressions. But you were acutely aware that you had sinned. You knew that you had broke the law of God. You knew that there was dissension between you and God. You knew that there was a gap between you and God that you could not bridge. But the man Christ Jesus spilled his blood on the tree so that you could have your sins atoned for, and God would not impute iniquity into you any longer, and so that you and I could be declared the righteousness of God, and you would know that your sins are forgiven. I'll tell you what, then you'll live every day with not grief and condemnation. Because you know, I'm telling you, I've been pastoring for almost 30 years now, preaching. This is my 40th year of preaching the gospel. And I have watched men and women struggle for time and time again, every week raising their hand to make a new confession of faith about forgive. I'm not saying, I know when we sin, we ask the Lord to forgive us. But it's because they have no revelation that their sins are forgiven them in Christ Jesus. I should have also added to this, blessed is the person who knows that they're forgiven. They're accepted in the blood. Because here's what it'll give you, and this is the blessing. It will give you peace. You're blessed if you got peace. Peace with God. Peace with others. Psalm 29 says God will give you peace. I'm telling you, you may need the peace of God in your life. Every one of us needs the peace of God. I tell you, the world that we live in is contentious and full of strife. I don't believe in strife following us home. You may work amongst it in the workplace. There may be places on the school campus that it's chaotic and contentious. But I believe in there being peace on our homes. Come on, Jesus said when you enter into a house, he said, let the peace of God be upon it. Right? I believe in the peace of God. And not only peace with God, not only peace with others, but what about peace with yourself? Just the peace of God within that just simply says, I'm at peace. I'm telling you, there's no wage you can give to that. MasterCard and Visa can't charge that one. Come on, somebody. Right? That's the gift of God. That's the peace of God. It's of great value to the heart and life of a believer. It's a result of God's prophetic blessing upon your family. Number three, if you're blessed of God, let me tell you what you are. You're conformable to His Word. There were too many scriptures. I'm going to give you two today. But if you search the scriptures, you will find that many of the promises of blessings that we read about in the Word of God are for those who hear, receive, and obey the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. The blessing of God follows those who hear the Word, they receive the Word, but then they do the Word. Psalm 119, verse number 1 and 2, here he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, look at that. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You'll not have peace in your faith, you'll not have peace in your life if you're not conforming your will to the will of God. As God reveals His Word to you, God demands growth of you. Right? And as you grow in the Lord and become conformable to His Word, then the greater measure of blessing can come upon you and your household. Come on, I believe that, don't you? As I become surrendered to the Lord and I seek Him with all my heart, then the favor and the blessing of God increases upon my life because I'm conformable to His Word. What a blessing that we have in this next one. And that is the psalmist of Israel. I'm going to jump to the 84th chapter of Psalm. But it's a beautiful psalm. We're only going to read the fourth verse, but I'm going to back up and I'm going to capture the first verse. We often sing it. Shane sang it, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. How beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. What a beautiful thing it is to gather with the children of God. What a beautiful thing it is for you to get in your vehicle every Sunday morning and to be able to come to this place and to enter His gates with thanksgiving and to enter His courts with praise. To have an opportunity to worship. To have an opportunity. You want to run? It was prophesied after the service last week. You want to run? Run. Nobody's going to stop you. You want to fall down at the altar? Fall down at the altar. You want to lift your hands? Lift your hands. You want to shout with the voice of a king? Then you shout among us because it's a beautiful thing. Look at this fourth verse. Here's the promise. Blessed are they that dwell in the house of God. What a glorious moment it is for us to be able to worship the Lord collectively in His house. I thank God. I know you have jobs. I know you have ball games. I know you have things you have to do. But this sacred time that God gives us, we are blessed to be able to worship collectively together. You know who else is blessed? This is an indicator of blessing. Ready for this one? Contentment. Notice I didn't say abundance. Now, why is that? Abundance can be a blessing, but not always. Come on now. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 says this, godliness with contentment is great gain. I know a lot of people that have a lot of resources, but have no internal peace or contentment. Abundance does not necessarily mean blessing. Contentment is the greater blessing. God can add to you. There can be great things. I've seen in my life, times in my life, when God provided resources and that there was great blessing that followed it. I've also had times in my life where resources demanded more of me than what I could give. It took more from me spiritually than it provided for me spiritually or physically. So there's a balance. Obviously, we need the measure of God's goodness, and sometimes we need physical abundance upon us, right? We just took an offering. The offering was, for most of us, it was born out of abundance and not out of need, right? So I believe in abundance, but I want to say this, greater than abundance is contentment. You can't just look at somebody with an abundance in their bank account or a big car or a big home or anything like that or a good job and say, you know what, they're fully and completely blessed based upon their abundance. Because if they don't have peace, if they're not walking in forgiveness, if they're not conformable to His word, then they'll have no spiritual contentment within themselves. So contentment is the greater gain. And then further from this is that, I tell you what, you know who's blessed? The blessed are those who learn to give away blessing. Because number six is benevolence. Thank you, Sherry said amen to that. I only had two. Shane came along. He's a little late to the party, but that's all right. Psalm 42 verses 2 and 3, but I missed that one entirely. It's Psalm 41. Psalm 41 verses 1. Blessed is he that will consider the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. God said, I'll bless you as you give. God will give you seed to sow, right? Blessed is he that considers the poor. So if you're benevolent, if there's something in your heart that says that God's blessed me, but I'm not going to hoard it, I'm going to share it, then you're blessed of God. And God said, I'll come to you in your most difficult days because I see the benevolence of your heart. As a result of that, number seven today, there's only 10, I'm going fast and I'm going to soon close, but I want to give you indicators so that you can examine yourself. The Bible says to examine yourself. Are you walking in the fullness of the blessing of God? Number seven is good health. Good health is a blessing from God, right? And I'm talking about emotional health, mental health, and physical health, right? Of the blessing of God. If you go to bed every night and sickness is upon you and it's robbing you of certain areas of your life, then our prayer is that God brings that blessing of good health to you. But I want you to be convinced in your heart of heart that God blesses us with good health. Did you know there are religious leaders and institutions that will tell us it's the will of God to keep you in a state of sickness, both mental, emotional, and physical, but we come along today to say that's a lie of the adversary in Jesus' name. That God said in 3 John 2, I want you to hear this, and this, I do this in honor of Craig Spangler today. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so if blessing means prosper or prospereth, and you speak the prophetic blessing upon somebody for them to prosper, then John said, I am praying, I am speaking it over your life that you may be in health. So don't believe the doctor's report. Don't believe what you've been told that this is genetic and it's in your family and you have to carry it day after day and year after year. How about you shun all of that and say, God said by His word that the blessing of God will be good to me and He will add no sorrow to it. Look further in Psalm 41. Go back to the second and the third verse for just a moment. He said, to those that are blessed in their benevolence, the Lord will preserve you. He will keep you alive. You will be blessed upon the earth. And in the third verse, the Lord will strengthen you upon the bed of your languishing, and He will make all your bed in your sickness. God can come to you in the fullness of His blessing, and He can bring health. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Every time I ask Robert Long, who sits on the front, is faithful in our church, works so hard, volunteerism. I say, Robert, how are you today? He says, I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed. Amen, Robert?
Amen.
I'm blessed. Number eight, if you've got relationships of any kind, you're blessed of God. Now, I didn't add verses of Scripture to validate this one, but I want to say this to you today. Sometimes relationships can be painful and harmful, and people have severed relationships, and sometimes you need to distance yourself from some folk. Come on, somebody, amen. And I know that this is kind of a wide swath here today, but I'm just trying to give you an indicator of a few things. If you found a wife, the Bible says you found a good thing and you've obtained the favor of God. If you're in good relationship with your children, then you got a blessing from heaven. Not everybody has that right now. And I know some in our church and their heart breaks and my heart breaks for you and I grieve for you. And I'm never going to stop believing God on your behalf. I'm never going to stop saying, God, I am praying for the reconciliation of those relationships, especially paternal relationships. What about if you got friends? Or I'm going to even say this, what if you just got one? You're still blessed of God. If you've got somebody that cares for you, if you got somebody that when, if you were absent, they would be searching for you. Are you out there? Come on, then you've got a friend. You've got relationship. And then God has blessed you here in the earth. It's an indicator. And you say, Pastor, well, how can I find some friend? Maybe that you're saying, Pastor, I don't seem to have that. I tell you what, there's nothing greater in my life than a church family. Right? A church family. There's failure in the church. There's hurt in the church. Right? There's disappointment at times in the church. There's movement in the church. There's church transfer. It happens. It happens all the time. But also, you can't focus on all the negative. You say, Pastor, there's hypocrites in the church. Yes, there's hypocrites in the church, but there's hypocrites in the world. Right? What I've discovered is, I've discovered within the context of the church family and relationship, I've got men and women who genuinely care. They don't just care for me, they care one for the other. They understand Jesus' exhortation to love one another, and no greater love has this than a man will lay down his life for his friends. If you don't have relationship, then show yourself friendly. Vest yourself in the life of somebody. Prayerfully pray and say, God, I need men and women in my life that I can be a blessing to, but they can also be a blessing to me. Right? Because that's going to take you to number 9. This is how an indicator, this is an indicator, this is a mark, if you will, a watermark, if you will, to indicate whether you are walking in the blessing of God is when you realize that you were blessed to become a blessing. When you say, wherever I go and whatever I do, I'm going to change the entire culture of whatever I put my hand to do because of the supernatural blessing of God upon me. If I'm in an environment where everybody is kind of cynical and there's hate and all kinds of, I'm going to change the trajectory. I'm going to change the feeling of that because I'm going to walk in full of the love of God and the joy of God. I'm going to be a light in a dark place. Come on, somebody. Because God did something so great in me when He redeemed me. He blessed me to be a blessing to others. He blessed my life. He blessed my words. He blessed my countenance. I don't have to have a countenance that's fallen every day. I know there are times when you have difficult days. I know there's sadness and times of grieving and mourning. But God can lift your countenance and put a smile on your face. I know it's difficult days, but you can be joy. You can have joy, but you can be joyous in this season of life. You are blessed to be a blessing. What about the resources? What about the wealth? What about the favor of God that's come upon you? It's not just for your retirement, right? It's to be a blessing to other people. It's to elevate their lives, to lift their lives, for your life to be a conduit. You will not find in the Word of God where God called you to be a reservoir, where we capture the blessing of God. But God has blessed you to be a blessing. When God formed the covenant with Abraham, He promised him, I'm going to bless you. But know this, Abraham, through you, every nation, every family, every person that's born on the earth can be blessed through you. You can live your life with that revelation. God's blessed you to be a blessing. Man, you'll get up every day realizing you've got a divine purpose by God. Favor and grace, goodness, love. God's blessing upon you in every area of your life. It's to be a blessing. And this is something that I pondered as I prayed over this sermon. As brief as it might be, it's time to conclude it here today. Wrapping up the book of Deuteronomy, at least my sermon series. As I thought about the blessing, and I believed, I tried to stand there as if I was in the crowd that day. In the Brown family, I don't know what tribe we would have been a part of. Let's just say Zebulun. We'd have been there with we lived on Zebulun Lane one year. For a little while, so thank you, Lynn and Vicky. And so we lived over there for a little while, so we would have been with the tribe of Zebulun. And on that day, Moses, the man of God, who had been in the presence of God, who had been on the mountain of God, come on, somebody, who had saw the glory of God, who at one time had the glory of God so much upon him, they had to put a veil over his face because he had the reflection of God's glory so much upon his life. What if you would have been in the crowd that day when Moses, the man of God, began to call family by family, tribe by tribe, and speak the prophetic blessing of God upon your family. What, you know what it would have given you? It would have given you this, number 10, hope. Hope. In every situation in life, here's how you know you're blessed. Because you have hope. In your darkest day, you have hope. In your sickest day, you have hope. In the tragedy of loss, when loved ones have passed into eternity, you have hope. The world doesn't have what we have because they don't have the blessing of God. But you do. Do you have the indicators? Are these? I could have given you many more indicators, but these are things. Moses had a top 10 when he came down from the mountain. I didn't come down from the mountain, but I came out of the office. And I had a 10. And I said, God, these are 10 indicators. I know they may seem simple. I know there's not great theological depth into my sermon today. But my heart was just captured. Perhaps my heart was captured because I believe in paternal, patriarchal blessing. And I just saw Moses. Moses couldn't go with Israel. Moses wanted to go, but he couldn't. But what could he do? He could speak the prophetic blessing of God upon them. The power of blessing. My question for you today, are you blessed? Put the title back if you would. Are you blessed by the blessing? Blessed by the blessing. Blessed by the blessing of Almighty God. Shane, join me up here if you would today. You know, the things I'm preaching to you, some things that I've learned and gleaned in my own life, in my own faith. I've learned. Let me tell you what sermon prep is. Sermon prep is an art. There's an art to sermon prep. Once you develop it, it doesn't take the hours that it used to. Shane's got a developed gift of song and psalm. He doesn't have to practice for hours to come in. Now, he surely at times needs to keep himself sharpened, but when you have a developed gift, you trust it. So I have sermon prep. I believe in sermon prep. But in my studies and in my personal working out my own salvation after these now 40 years of preaching the gospel, 40 years this summer, 40 years, I learned that as I grew and mature in faith, I could speak a prophetic blessing. One day, God gave me a wife at 17. I don't recommend that for the youth group. Caleb, don't talk to the kids about that on the trip. But I learned that I could speak the blessing over her. And then a few years later, when I was 20, God gave me my first child. And I could hold that child. And because I was blessed of God, I could speak the blessing. And then God gave us 5 more children. And now 14/15 children, grandchildren. And I learned that in my prayer time, that I wasn't called of God to just intercede for my family. I wasn't called of God just to, oh God, I need you to do this. Oh God. I learned that in my prayer time, I could walk with God like in the Genesis of old. He would come down and walk with me in the cool of the day. And because he had spoken prophetic blessing over me, I could say, Father, I bless Sherry as a fruitful vine by the side of my house. And today, God, I bless my children as olive plants round about my table. I could take an anointing that God had put upon me and within me, and I could bless those that God had put in my life. I was blessed by the blessing. And I wanted to bless others by the blessing. And then God called me into ministry. I was already called into ministry at 17, obviously, if I was preaching at 16. But as I began to mature in blessing, mature in pastoring, mature as a pastor, I began to realize that this paternal blessing that God put upon my life for my wife and my children extended to my church family. And you might be 95 years old, 40 years my senior, but I'm your spiritual father in that moment. You may know 10 times more than I know about God or the Word of God, but in that moment, I can open my mouth and I can say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to trust in that supernatural blessing of Almighty God. I want you to live your life as a part of our fellowship to know that you're blessed by the blessing of God. His supernatural and prophetic blessing. Would you stand up with me today? Spirit of God. Let's let our heads be bowed and our eyes closed for a moment of time. In a moment, I'm going to pray a special blessing today, my heart. And then I'm going to ask Shane to pray with me. Actually, I'm going to read it and I'm going to ask him to pray. We're going to tag team together. We're going to join our faith as the pastor and the associate pastor of this assembly. And we're going to speak and pray the blessing of God upon you. It's a sacred calling. It's a sacred anointing. I want to encourage you in this today. I gave you 10 indicators. There are many more indicators, but examine your own life right now. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Examine your own heart and life. The one thing that's in my spirit that I can't get over and I can't go past is that sin is an impediment to the blessing of God. Open transgression hinders and keeps you from walking in the fullness of the favor of God. If you take the time to read the passages that I've been preaching to you for the last several months, you'll know that Israel, because of sin, they hindered God's fullest blessing upon them. Come out of sin. Confess your sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But don't play the church game. God knows your heart. God knows your life. If there's anything in you today, confess it before the Lord. Father, as a fellowship, we repent. It's a gift. You gave us a gift to repent, to confess our sins, but to turn from our sin and to turn to you with all of our heart. The areas of our life, God, that we've stumbled in. The areas of our life, God, where we in the past, where we've given place to the adversary, the weakness of our flesh, we confess those sins today. Who will confess them? It's a blessing to have the privilege to confess our sins. God, today I don't want anything to hinder me from your blessing. I don't want anything to rob me of the blessing of God today. I don't want anything to stall the blessing from coming upon me, my house, my children, and my children's children. The psalmist said, Lord, if there's been anything unclean inside me, cleanse my hands and cleanse my heart. Wash me today that I should be clean and my fellowship before you can be pure. And that when you speak over me, Father, there'll be nothing to impede the power of that prophetic blessing today. Are y'all praying with me today, church family? I'm praying with you. I'm just uttering words out of my spirit today that I just believe might help lead somebody in a genuine prayer of repentance. I don't want anything to hinder you of receiving of the fullness of God's blessing upon your life. God, I pray that you'll help me to examine myself. Maybe none of these were indicators for somebody today, but there are other indicators of the blessing of God. Maybe you'll use one of those indicators, God, to help us to examine ourselves whether or not we have the fullness of God's blessing. Because, Father, we recognize your blessing is visible and it's fragrant. We can see it, and we can discern it or smell it. We can perceive it. We can handle it and touch it and feel it. It's the blessing of God. The blessing of God. Father, I've led the church today. I've led the church in prayer, prayer of repentance, so that there might not be anything between us and the power of a prophetic blessing. So today, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to ask you to do something with me, church family. I want to ask you to come forward. I know there's 165, 70 people here today. I know, but movement. There's something happens when you move. You have a microphone, Shane. You're going to join with me. Shane, I had no practice on this. We're just going to trust the Lord to knit our hearts together in love. Knit our hearts together in agreement. We're going to speak the power of a prophetic word over you. Moses told the children of Israel, I'm going to read this passage, Shane, then I'm going to speak to you, and then I want you to speak to the people. Moses told the children of Israel, he said, tell Aaron, the priest, and his sons. So it wasn't just the high priest, but it was the priest. You shall speak this blessing over the children of Israel. And you'll say these words, the Lord bless you. And keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and the Lord give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. Jane, I remember watching you grow. And you grew from afar. Shane's office is down here. Sometimes he would be in there when I was praying. And you heard me speak the blessing over my family, didn't you? Now what do you do to your family?
Speak the blessing.
You speak the blessing, don't you? And they're blessed, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Speak the blessing. This is our family today. Together, we're going to speak the blessing. You speak the blessing over them, and then I'll come behind you and conclude it. We may sing, though. I don't know. You may have a song, but I want you to lead. First, you speak a word.
Lord, bless you.
Yes, Lord.
And keep you.
Yes, Lord.
And make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Lord, turn his face toward you.
Yes, God.
And give you peace. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, church.
Oh, for my church families, Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and their children. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you. He is with you, he is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. Oh Lord, Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Thank you for the ability to bless. Oh, I thank you for the strength of the blessing. I thank you for the power of a blessing. God, let us recognize it. Father, then it's more than just words. Boy, but there's life in it. There's life in the blessing. To be emboldened by the Spirit, strengthened by the Word. Let us be a church that blesses. Father, you've poured out your grace without measure, your blessing without measure on us. Father, we return it. We return it. Blessing. Thank you, Jesus.
I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place today, church family. Father, if there's any faith inside of my heart today, if there's any paternal, pastoral faith, I bless every man and every
yes.
woman.
Yes.
Every boy and girl that's a part of our fellowship.
Yes.
I pray the supernatural blessing of God upon them.
Right.
The blessing that will come behind and go in front.
Yes.
The blessing of good health.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody, the blessing
yes.
of good health.
Yes.
God, we pray, let chronic diseases be broken off of our church family, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Father, the blessing of good health. Some fragmented relationships. God, I pray blessing upon those relationships. Turn the heart of the children to the Father. And turn the heart of the fathers to the children, God. Reconcile relationships. God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Blessing.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, change the countenances of our church family.
Yeah, yeah.
To recognize, God, that they are blessed. God, if there's been continual sorrow of heart, I bless them to joy. If there's been contention and strife, I bless them to peace. If they've been caught in the rat race of get more and get more and get more, I bless them to contentment, God, today. We've already spoke the blessing of forgiveness, God. What a gift that is. We thank you for it today. Lord, if there's any faith in us at all, God, Moses wrote and he said that God would command the blessing. God, we command the blessing of God. God, we command it, Father, in the name of Jesus. He said you would make them the head and not the tail. They'd be above and not beneath, God. They'd be blessed coming in. They'd be blessed going out. They'd be blessed in the storehouse, the field, and the basket. Their spouses would be blessed. Their children would be blessed. And their children's children. Generational curses would be broken because of generational blessing. Glory to God. The blessing. The blessing. God, you have blessed us. There's any faith at all in the two gentlemen that stand on this stage today. God, we have spoken the blessing of God. Shane has sung the blessing of God over our church family. And they shall be blessed. They shall be blessed, God. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, let me say this. I don't want you to think for a moment that some of you, the overwhelming majority of you, didn't already have this revelation and weren't already walking in the blessing of God. But God can always take you from glory to glory. He can take you from one blessing to a deeper blessing. And my prayer is that that's what's happened today. Put the title back up if you would, one last time if you would. You're blessed by the blessing. Blessed by the blessing. Moses, the man of God, the writer there said, this is the blessing whereby Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. I hope as you leave today, in your heart of hearts, you say, this is the blessing that our pastor spoke over our lives today. And we're walking in the fullness of God's blessing. Yes. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I'm so grateful. Father, we're going to send your word to the camp in Hot Springs. Yes. We're going to believe for protection. We're going to believe for driving mercies, God, traveling mercies. We're going to believe that every student and every volunteer, God is going to have a supernatural week of the favor of God. Yes. Come on, somebody. Amen. Yes. Sherry and I are going to journey to Destiny's Conference this week. We'll be back Friday. God, I pray for Dr. Brassfield and Sister Kathy. What a blessing that they are to our church and to the greater church. God, let this be a week of blessing, of spiritual blessing. And Father, and all the men and women that are part of our fellowship, Wednesday night, Shane's going to minister the word. You saw how powerful. He's going to continue speaking the word of faith into your heart and life. God, you're going to continue to do great things in the heart and lives of the church family. So today we thank you. We're blessed by the blessing. It's in Jesus' name, and all God's children said amen and amen. Hug somebody. Love somebody. Tell them they're a blessing. You're grateful that they were in the Lord's house today. Can I get a